some superior energy. Those who are saying that we are supreme, they don't want to, they can't say, well, you goofed up. They say, no, this is, you know, I've chosen this, I've made this, because I was bored, and therefore we've made this creation to have fun. Yeah, there's different kind of explanations like that, but when you get into this, you know, philosophically speaking, when you get into this debate about why we're here, how we've come here, what's the purpose of creation, you know, there's two schools. There's the impersonal school and the personal school. And to me, the personal explanation makes a lot more sense and is a lot more undeniable. And more comforting, yeah. There's a certain taste in devotion. And appreciation for the Lord and His mercy and that relationship that's not there in the impersonal world. So, where are we reading? See, I was reading this last week and I didn't have a marker. And I didn't leave a marker.
I think you're in Kurvani Viha Karmani. Because last week you read a Surya Namate.
Thank you. Okay. So that means verse 3?
That's verse 3. No. Kurvani Viha Karmani.
I were.
Because you did a Surya Namate. Right, so.
We read, last week was Killer of the Soul. Atmahan. So we're on mantra 4.
That's the same one. Oh, mantra 4, yeah. Okay,
mantra 4, which is on page 33. Ane jad ekam manaso javiyo naina deva apnuvan purvan arshat tadravatonyad at yetitishtat tasmin napo matarish vadadati anejat fixed ekam one manasa the mind javiya more swift not this supreme lord Deva, the demigods like Indra, etc. Apnuvan, can approach. Purvam, in front. Arshat, moving quickly. Tat, he. Davata, those who are running. Anyan, others. Atyeti, surpasses. Tishtat, remaining in one place. Tasmin, in him. Apa, rain. Matarishva, the gods who control the wind and rain, Dadati, supply. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Although fixed in His abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach Him. Although in one place, He controls those who supply the air and the rain. He surpasses all in excellence. Report. Through mental speculation, even the greatest philosopher cannot know the Supreme Lord, who is the absolute personality of Godhead. He can be known only by His devotees through His mercy. In the Brahma Samhita 534, it is stated that even if a non-devotee philosopher travels through space at the speed of the wind or the mind for hundreds and millions of years, he will still find that the absolute truth is far, far away from him. The Brahma Samhita 537 further describes that the absolute personality of Godhead has his transcendental abode known as Goloka, where he remains and engages in his pastimes. Yet, his inconceivable potencies, he can simultaneously reach every part of his creative energy. In the Vishnu Purana, his potencies are compared to the heat and light that emanate from a fire. Although situated in one place, a fire can distribute its light and heat for some distance. Similarly, the absolute personality of Godhead, although fixed in his transcendental abode, can diffuse his different energies everywhere. Although his energies are innumerable, they can be divided into three principal categories: the internal potency, the marginal potency, and the external potencies. So how many potencies does the Supreme Lord have? Three categories, which are Bhakta Daniel.
Internal potency, marginal potency, and external potency.
Okay, and what would you be?
I would be marginal.
Marginal potency. You're an in-betweeny. There are hundreds and millions of subheadings to each of these categories. Dominating the demigods who are empowered to control and administer such natural phenomena as air, light, rain, are all classified within the marginal potency of the absolute person. Lesser living beings, including humans, also belong to the Lord's marginal potency. The material world is the creation of the Lord's external potency. And the spiritual sky, where the kingdom of God is situated, is the manifestation of his internal potency. So what's an example of the Lord's internal potency? Goloka Vrindavan. So we got the external potency, the marginal potency, and the internal potency. So the internal potency, everything is one and different and eternal. And there's no influence of the external potency. So we're marginal potency, but when we're in the spiritual world, we're under the influence of the internal potency, and when we're in the material world, we're under the influence of the external potency. Therefore, we're considered marginal. Or sometimes it's compared to the seashore, which is sometimes, when the tide comes in, is covered by the water, and when the tide recedes, is again exposed to the air. So because of its location and because of its finite situation or position, it can be under the influence of either the water or the land. Or if you're a marginal potency, under the influence of the spiritual energy or the external energy. But in either case, we're under the control of the Supreme Lord, because his internal potency and his external potency are due to him. So if the question comes up, you know, how did we get here, or what are we doing here? You can't deny that we are here and that we are bound up, or we are influenced by this external potency. I was just thinking, there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains, you know, the marginal potency, how it's superior, but at the same time is controlled by the inferior. Can anyone think of the area of the Gita where Krishna talks about that? Chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And what does Krishna say? There's a microphone for you.
I can't remember exactly what he said, but basically he described it as two. Of all created beings, there are two. Basically, there's two levels of energy. One comprising the living entities, and then one comprising the material nature. And the living entities are trying to exploit the lesser, inferior energy.
Yeah. Very good. Let's look at that verse real quick, just so we can see that. Huh? Okay. 7-5. What page do you have there? 328. Would you like to read it? With the microphone, because we have the devotees in the kitchen.
Besides this, O mighty O Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind, which comprises the living entities for exploiting the resources of this material, inferior nature.
Oh, very nice. And it's interesting, the verse just before that, Krishna explains his external energy. Let's read verse 4 so we can see the comparison between the two.
Earth, water, fire, air, ocean, mind, intelligence, and possible. All three of these eight constitute a separated material energies.
So what would you say is the main difference between the superior energy and the inferior energy?
The superior energy controls the inferior energy. And the inferior energy is in a very dull, it cannot act on its own. But by the influence of superior energy, inferior energy is set into motion.
So the inferior energy is moved by the superior energy.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Well, he uses the word. He uses the word bina prakriti, so it means separated energy. So the inferior energy is defined in a different way. It's called separated energy.
How about the superior energy? Is there a separated superior energy?
I was going to go to in another direction, so you continue.
Okay, no.
Well, that's a good point. Is there the material energy is separate, but is the spiritual energy is separate?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I can think of one verse where Krishna describes it as the superior energy, or the... The jivas is separate, even though they're superior. Right? Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanan manasastan indriyani prakritir stani karshani.
He's saying, no, but he's saying they're anshas. They're his anshas. So that's not separate. That's
vivinanshas.
They're vivinanshas. They're swanshas and vivinanshas. So that. So the jiva bhutas are vibhinanshas, and anshas are not separated from the body by nature. They're only, I mean, I think that only the material energy is the separated energy. I don't know that my mayavangsha, jiva bhuta, they may appear separated. They may think themselves separated because they're under the, you know, because they're delusion. But what I was going to say before, because you were asking about qualities of the material energy, was consciousness.
That's what I was looking for, actually.
The superior energy has consciousness, and the inferior energy is inert and unconscious.
Mm. Yeah, that's the main difference. There's also another verse where Krishna makes a distinction, where he talks about those who are seers of the truth, how they can also see a distinction between the spiritual and the material. And I was thinking in chapter 2.
It does say fragmental part.
Yeah.
Fragmental particle in my Mayavangsha.
Yeah.
That's the way it's translated.
Therefore we're individualized even though we're one. Even though we're the same, we're same energy, but we're individualized. But I just wanted to bring this point also to the understanding the difference between the material and the spiritual energy. And the main difference is consciousness. So this is explained in 2:16. Just look at that real quickly. Lord Krishna says, those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existence, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal soul there is no change. Thus they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So the superior energy is not changing. So consciousness is continual and unchanging. And the form of that consciousness, the separated jiva, the amsa of the Supreme Lord, also is not changing. But the forms of the material energy are always changing. So that's another distinction to look at. And by observation, we can see that because we're superior energy. We're aware of ourselves, and we're aware of what we are and what we're doing. We can observe the material energy because we're superior to it. So we can watch it change. We can watch the mind change. We can watch the body change. But that watcher is constant and not changing. So let's finish this purport here. And then we'll go. Yeah, go ahead.
So if we're talking about the material energy and being non-conscious, and then we also know that one of the Vishnu expansions enters into every atom. So how is that Vishnu being present in every smallest particle and being conscious? How is that not making the material energy conscious?
That's a good question. And actually, from that point of view, that's also conscious. But the super soul is conscious of every he's in everything, in everything. And material energy responds to consciousness as well, even to our consciousness, which they're starting to find out in the science of quantum mechanics, that even as the observer is observing the material energy is responding to the observer.
There's nothing really in this world that's totally dead
and
unconscious.
Right? No. And even the concept of material, spiritual, is more from our perspective rather than from God's perspective, because everything is His energy and everything is manifesting according to His will as he would like. But we are under the influence of the marginal energy, which we are under the influence of God's superior material, divine material energy. He describes this in the 14th chapter, Daivyeshi Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatiya. He said that this material energy is mine and it's divine, and it's actually influencing all the souls in this world. So it's not in. It's fully under the Lord's direction. So in that sense, it's conscious. The Lord's conscious. Thank you. Nice point.
Okay.
Just carry this point further, how we become implicated in matter, awake. Considered to be matter, but that verse we heard on the way up here, the Payam Dvitiya Abhinivesitasya verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, explains how when the jiva sees something or cuts himself off from Krishna, what he sees is dvitiya, or it appears to be different from Krishna, and then he becomes absorbed in that consciousness, and this is known to be material consciousness, which is full of payam, or fear. And then in the Chaturshlok verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ratirtamya Pratyeta Nam Pratyeta Chatmani Tat Vidyara Anomayam Yatapaso Yatatamaha, that the idea that when the soul sees something as separate from the Lord, it's his mistake. He's seeing the shadow, which is caused originally by the sun, so it's actually not different. And it's because it's created by the sun, but it's only his mistake that he's seeing it in that way. So it's an act of consciousness also.
Thank you. Did we read that first? I must have been sleeping through it.
What was that?
I don't remember hearing that verse on the way down. I was nodding out.
I've just been reading the prayers
by the Vedas personified in the Krishna book. Really wonderful chapter where all these different philosophies, and especially impersonalism versus Vaishnava conclusion, is delineated by the Vedas themselves and established Krishna, devotional service supremacy. And the example is given, speaking about this, how the material nature seems false. The impersonalists say it's false because it appears again and again, and then it's wound up again and again. So sometimes it's manifested, sometimes it's unmanifested. The Prabhupada gives the example that you can have currency. You can have millions of dollars in currency, but it's just paper. So the impersonalist will think, since it's just paper, I shouldn't really use it. But because it's actually backed by the government, then it can actually be given full value, and you can actually go use it. So similarly, the material nature can be used in devotional service. Everything should be offered to Krishna, and the detachment of the impersonalists who say the world is false and therefore I won't be involved in it is not very useful according to Rupa Goswami. But that real detachment is by not being interested in sense gratification, one utilizes everything in Krishna's service.
So we're reading Ishopanishad here, and we're on page 35 at the top of the page. Could you keep reading there, Akurnat, in your announcer voice?
From thus the different energies?
Yeah.
Thus the different energies of the Lord are present everywhere. Although the Lord and his energies are non-different, one should not mistake these energies for the supreme truth, nor should one wrongly consider that the Supreme Lord is distributed everywhere impersonally, or that he loses his personal existence. Men are accustomed to reach conclusions according to their capacity for understanding, but the Supreme Lord is not subject to our limited capacity for understanding. It is for this reason that the Upanishads warn us that no one can approach the Lord by his own limited potency. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.2, the Lord says that not even the great rishis and suras can know him. And what to speak of the asuras, for whom there is no question of understanding the ways of the Lord? This fourth mantra of the Sri Ishopanishad very clearly suggests that the Absolute Truth is ultimately the Absolute Person. Otherwise, there would have been no need to mention so many details in support of his personal features. Although the individual parts and parcels of the Lord's potencies have all the symptoms of the Lord himself, they have limited spheres of activity and are therefore all limited. The parts and parcels are never equal to the whole. Therefore, they cannot appreciate the Lord's full potency. Under the influence of material nature, foolish and ignorant living beings who are but parts and parcels of the Lord try to conjecture about the Lord's transcendental position. Sri Ishopanishad warns of the futility of trying to establish the identity of the Lord through mental speculation. One should try to learn of the transcendence from the Lord himself, the supreme source of the Vedas, for the Lord alone has full knowledge of the transcendence. Every part and parcel of the complete whole is endowed with some particular energy to act according to the Lord's will. When the part and parcel living entity forgets his particular activities under the Lord's will, he is considered to be in Maya, illusion. Thus, from the very beginning, Sri Ishopanishad warns us to be very careful to play the part designated for us by the Lord. This does not mean that the individual soul has no initiative of his own. Because he is part and parcel of the Lord, he must partake of the initiative of the Lord as well. When a person properly utilizes his initiative or active nature with intelligence, understanding that everything is the Lord's potency, he can revive his original consciousness, which was lost due to association with Maya, the external energy. All power is obtained from the Lord. Therefore, each particular power must be utilized to execute the will of the Lord and not otherwise. The Lord can be known by one who has adopted such a submissive service attitude. Perfect knowledge means knowing the Lord in all his features, knowing his potencies, and knowing how these potencies work by his will. These matters are described by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads.
So next we'll be on text 5. Mm-hmm.
Mark
Yeah, do you have a marker? Okay. So let's chant a little bit, and then we'll read Bhagavad Gita.